Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 47-48.
Priti
Prahasita
Upangam
Alakai
Rupa
Shobitam
Lasat
Pankaja
Kinjalka
Dukulam
Mrishta
Kundalam
Priti Prahasita
Pangam
Priti Prahasita
Pangam
Priti Prahasita Pangam
Alakai Rupa
Shobitam
Alakai Rupa Shobitam
Alakai Rupa Shobitam
Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka
Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka
Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka
Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka
Dukulam Mrishta Kundalam
Dukulam Mrishta Kundalam
Dukulam Mrishta Kundalam
Dukulam Mrishta Kundalam
Priti Prahasita Pangam
Priti Prahasita Pangam
Alakai Rupa Shobitam
Alakai Rupa Shobitam
Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka
Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka
Dukulam Mrishta Kundalam
Dukulam Mrishta Kundalam
Priti
Merciful
Prahasita,
smiling,
Upangam,
sidelong glance,
Alakai,
with curling hair,
Rupa,
beauty,
Shobitam,
increased,
Lasat,
glittering.
Pankaja,
of the lotus,
Kinjalka,
saffron,
Dukulam,
clothing,
Mrishta,
glittering,
Kundalam,
earrings,
Spurat,
shiny.
This is the next verse.
Kirita,
helmet,
Valaya,
bangles,
Hara,
necklace,
Nupura,
ankle bells,
Mekalam,
belt,
Shankha,
conch shell,
Chakra,
wheel,
Gada,
club,
Padma,
lotus flower,
Mala,
garland,
Mani,
pearls,
Uttama,
first class,
Ridimat,
still more beautiful,
still more beautified,
on account of this.
Translation.
The Lord is super excellently beautiful on account of His open and merciful smile and His sidelong glance upon His devotees. His black hair is curly and His garments waving in the wind appear like flying saffron pollen from lotus flowers. His glittering earrings, shining helmet, bangles, garland, ankle bells, waist belt and various other bodily ornaments combined with the conch shell, disc, club and lotus flower to increase the natural beauty of the Kostava pearl on his chest. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word Prahasita Pango, referring to Krishna's smile and sidelong glances at His devotees, specifically applies to His dealings with the gopis. Krishna is always in a joking mood when he increases the feelings of conjugal rasa in the hearts of the gopis. The conch shell, club, disc and lotus flower can be either held in his hands or seen on the palms of his hands. According to palmistry, the signs of a conch shell, club, lotus flower and disc mark the palms of great personalities and especially indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Priti prahasita pangam alakai rupa shobitam lasat pankaja kinjalka dukulam rishta kundalam spurat kirita valaya hara nupura mekalam jaya jaya shishi radha gopinathji ki jaya. Shankha chakra gada padma mala mani utamartam timat om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namah. So these are Lord Shiva's very, very beautiful prayers for most people. They have no inkling of what God is like, but those who follow the Lord's instructions and study the Shastras, they get detailed information like we sing here of how the Lord is. Sometimes materialists, they look at our paintings and they think, no, this is mythology. But actually, the paintings are executed according to these descriptions that are found in the Shastra. And these are also very helpful for those who seriously want to get to be able to see the Lord in the heart. The prime requisite, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Churita is a glass rod that in ancient times the ladies and even the men would use to apply kajal in the eyes. Kajal, according to Ayurveda, wasn't that they were so interested in the makeup, maquillage, but it was specifically, it's mentioned in the Ayurveda that it's very good for the health of the eyes. So anjana means that, kajal or ointment, and the churita is the glass rod that you apply the ointment with, or ceramic rod. So, premanjana, to put the ointment of prema, of love. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, and to look with devotion. Santa sadeva, to be always peaceful. Hridayeshu vilokayanti, then in your heart you can see yam shyama sundara, that same, self same shyama sundara Krishna, achinta guna swarupa, whose qualities are inconceivable. So it's described that God is one, he is like the Father, and also his better half, Radha, is also one. The two energies are known. The original energy is known as Antaranga Shakti, and from the Antaranga Shakti is manifest the Bahiranga Shakti, or the external energy. Antaranga Shakti means the internal aspect of the Supreme Mother, Radha. It's like we sing Jaya Radha Madhava. Ma means Mother, Mother Lakshmi, or Radha, or Sita Devi. And when you want to know the same mother externally, then she is Durga, Maya. So many names. So the process of being able to get to envision the Lord, it's important to learn and imbibe these descriptions of the Lord as given by those who see them, like Lord Shiva. He's giving first-hand experience because he's always meditating on the Lord. He's always seeing the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness process, we also have a very easy way on how to actually become advanced in meditation. In the second chapter of the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada explains, meditation means concentration on the lotus feet of the Lord. So this concentration, fixing the mind, mayi eva mana adatsva, to fix the mind on the Lord, mayi eva nivesha, to always dovetail our consciousness on the lotus feet of the Lord. There's a very nice verse by Yamunacharya like that. Bhavantam eva charan nirantara. Bhavantam is when they specifically address the Lord with a lot of reverence. It's like tvam is thou, thee, like in French they say tu. Kali Yuga, the system has become upside down. Now, the French, they use that for their inferiors. And they use the vouvoiement, or the you and your, by respect. Shows how everything's become upside down in Kali Yuga. But bhavantam is even more respectful than thee or thou. So Yamunacharya prays, bhavantam, O Lord, eva charan nirantara, to always follow in your footsteps. Prashanta nishesha manura tantara. Just by doing that, peacefully we can overcome prashanta, peacefully, without extraneous endeavor. Nishesha, we will put to an end this manurat, manuratantara. This is the main obstacle in meditation, in all the different schools or disciplines of meditation. That's the first lesson to learn, is how to still the thought process. Very difficult, because we are so conditioned to always think. So here Yamunacharya gives the easy way. He says, simply to follow the Lord's footsteps. Charan nirantara. Nirantara means always, night and day. Then, when the mind has become stilled, the thought process, manurat, chariot of the mind, then, kadaha mahoituki nitya kinkara. It's only when our mind is tranquilized like that, that we can actually pray. Oh Lord, kada, when? Kada, nitya kinkara, when will I become your eternal servant? Ahuituki, without any personal motivation. And then, praharsha yishyami, then laughingly. Harsha also means in Sanskrit the thrill one receives in the topmost pleasures. So praharsha yishyami, so joyfully, sanata jivitam, I will live with that Lord, sanat. When we hear these descriptions, and when we get to actually see the Lord, then it's so overwhelming, because he's just so exquisitively beautiful, so attractive. This name Krishna of the Lord is so appropriate as the most powerful name, because he is just so overwhelmingly beautiful and attractive. So the easy process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada have given us is that when we try and visualize God in our meditation, it is very difficult. Never mind how much we may study, for example, a painting, but to try and again visualize that painting in our heart is not easy. But there is a way where this becomes very easy, and that is by serving the deity. When one becomes dedicated to deity service, that serving activity increases or reawakens our love for the Lord. And in this way, it becomes also easy to meditate on the deity form. The more we meditate, the more we serve the deity, especially if we have the opportunity to do pujari service, where we engage in the sringa or the dressing of the deity. We have the opportunity of touching his lotus feet, massaging him with the perfume oils, etc. Then when we do our Gayatri mantras, it's very easy to visualize the Lord in the heart. And this is the very easy process of meditation that works. You just have to apply it. And of course you have to do it with bhakti. That's the main consideration that the Lord considers. Yo mam bhaktya upaharitam. When anything is offered with love, then he immediately accepts. So we're very, very fortunate like that, because we are on a very direct process of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada often likened it's like taking an elevator. Immediately you get to the top. No need to take the burdensome long stairway. So in this way, Lord Shiva's description is very helpful. And in those days, here he is instructing the Prachetas, who were the sons of Prachini Parhi, previously known as Maharaj Barhishat. And Lord Shiva is very mercifully instructing these 10 Prachetas, the 10 sons of Prachina Barhi. And Prabhupada explains that he actually became their spiritual master. And the Prachetas, as Lord Shiva's disciples, they took his words very seriously. And Prabhupada explains another aspect of meditation that's even more powerful than the Gayatri meditation that one may do on the deity 3 times a day. And Prabhupada explains that they took his instructions so seriously that simply by meditating on those instructions, they became perfect. And he writes in the purport of a verse previous to this one, in this chapter, this is the secret of success. After being initiated and receiving the orders of the spiritual master, the disciple should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. Thus a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate on that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute those orders. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his extraordinary commentary on the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he describes how generally people with a little faith, they take shelter of the Lord and Yadu Shraddha, and then they associate with devotees. And but generally in that initial stage, they designate it as Kanishta. Kanishta. Where's their fixed bhakti? Where are they fixed in bhakti? It's like Nashta Prayeshu Abhatriyeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati. The devotion manifests, becomes Bhavati. Naishtiki, Nishta, by serving Bhagavat, book Bhagavat, and pure devotee Bhagavat. It's specifically pure devotee Bhagavat. Prabhupada explains in the purport of that verse. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he elaborates on that, that when one comes to the level of accepting a spiritual master as Sakshat Hari, he immediately is promoted to the Madhyama level, simply by accepting the spiritual master as being Sakshat Hari, representative of the Supreme Lord. As Srila Prabhupada would say, Supreme Personality of Servitorship Godhead. So that is even the quicker way that one can become very advanced in spiritual life. And then what happens? Tada rajastamo bhava. This nature of passion and ignorance, kama, lobha, adayeschaye, beginning with the six faults, kama, lobha, krodh, moha, nirmatsara, etc. Cheta itaye anavidam. Within the heart, this is eradicated, anavidam. Vida, to know. You no longer know. You no longer experience, in other words, kam, krod, lobh, when you become nishta, naishtiki, in your bhakti. Cheta itayes anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. And then you become situated in pure goodness. And then evam prasidati. And this is very satisfying. This is what actually satisfies the heart. It's like when I joined, we were fans of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I remember there was that one song that afterwards was written that it was the most popular song of all time for the rock period. What was it? I can't get no satisfaction. They were at the top of their career. They were having, like, you know, so many girlfriends, groupies, staying in the most deluxe hotels, driving around in, you know, silver wing Rolls Royces. And the conclusion, I can't get no satisfaction. And the refrain was, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, but I can't get no. And I remember that made me think, wow, you know, well, then what's the whole point? So, Kanishta, where's the fixed devotion? So, by simply accepting a bona fide spiritual master and serving him and accepting him as a representative of the Supreme Lord, one immediately is promoted to the Madhyamadi Kari level. So every morning we must remember the offenses to the holy name. And the third one, Guror Avakya. We find in ISKCON many times how devotees get to become lax in following these spiritual masters' instructions, and they no longer come to Mangalati or visit Tosi Puja, Guru Puja, like that, and then they kind of slip back and lose the taste. Because after Nishtha, you get immediate ruchi. You get actually a taste for executing devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam. And then, when they lose that taste, again, they get the anartas, the unwanted objectives, take prominence in their life. Nivritta tarshaye upaniyamanas. This asat Krishna, tarshaye means this thirst for what is asat, everything pertaining to this external energy, this external world, perceived through the five senses. This is all asat, asat graya. It's just an experience of asat. So by remaining simply fixed in following the instructions of the spiritual master, we can very easily immunize ourselves from the allurement of the external energy. Mayeva mana adatsa na devi yesha guna mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This maya is so difficult, duratyaya is insurmountable, but simply by surrendering to the Lord and His representatives, we can transcend. Mayam etam tarantite. So, Tara we sing every day. Paschatya desha nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarini. Tara means to deliver or to transcend. Jai Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ji Ki. So these are the secrets of how to become happy in Krishna consciousness. When the Lord begins to describe devotional service in the ninth chapter, in the second verse He describes pravat pratyaksha avagamam. This is, you actually experience the Lord. Shraddha, Prabhupada would explain in his talks, is not a very important thing, because faith is not fixed, it can change. Just like I was from a Catholic faith and then I changed. For a while I was Buddhist and then I became a Hare Krishna. But like this, the faith changes. But one must know. So how will one know? How can we know Krishna? It's possible by following the process. Lord Krishna says you get direct experience. Just like in India, they say the favorite fruit of Krishna is the chiku. So those of you who haven't been to India, I'll explain. A chiku is a brown fruit, brown, a little bit hairy skin. The pulp is also brown. It's got like black seeds, like petals, like lotus eyes, sort of. And the taste is like honey. So, in good faith, in hearing from me, you can believe. But when you go to India, to Vrindavan, and you taste some chiku mahaprasad fruit, then you'll no longer need to believe. You'll know. So in the same way, Krishna can be known, actually. It's described in the sixth chapter, Brahma Samsparshanam. Krishna says you can actually touch the Lord in the heart. Not only just see Him. In the old Sadhu Pasya, the word they used for darshan was when the Lord spoke to one. Oh, he has darshan of the Lord. There's an interesting story like that. Prithviraj Jai Singh, Sawai Prithviraj Jai Singh of Jaipur, when he brought the deities from Vrindavan, Aurangzeb, he was sitting on the roof of the palace in Agra after he had killed his two elder brothers and imprisoned his father with the support actually of the army, because Shah Jahan had become besotted with his dead wife Mumtaz and was spending all the treasury on the construction of the Taj Mahal. And of course Kshatriyas are not too impressed when one becomes, or neither spiritualists, when one becomes besotted in this way by a woman, too much affection for a woman. So basically what happened was the Zamindar, the sub-king Muslim of Mathura, stopped sending taxes. So Shah Jahan just even neglected that for a while, but then finally his court pressured him, and therefore he sent the army with his three sons. His eldest son was already in Afghanistan, where he had been betrothed to the princess of the king of Afghanistan, and he was fighting one war there against their mutual enemy. When he came back, Aurangzeb disposed of him also, had a servant pierce his eye with a needle or something. Anyway, Aurangzeb, he was sitting up there, and the court astrologer was showing the stars, saying that yes, you will live, you will reign a long time because this planet is in this nakshatra like this. And then Aurangzeb pointed to one star on the horizon. He said, "What's that star? It's shining really brightly." And then the astrologer became embarrassed, because that was the huge lamp Man Singh, Sawai Man Singh, had made Govindaji temple 7 stories high. And at the top there was this big wok filled, which would just burn and make a huge flare like that, that would be even visible from Agra. So sitting on his throne, Aurangzeb became very angry, and he made this proclamation. When the king says something from the throne, that becomes like, the Muslims called it a fatwa, it becomes like a law, edict. So he said that Akbar and my great-grandfather Jahangir and even my father Shah Jahan, they were all far too tolerant of Hinduism. Islam is the only way. I will eradicate all these deities and temples, and I will force the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins to convert to Islam or die by torture. And he erected this huge torture rack in Vishram Ghat in Mathura. He actually leveled Mathura. All the nice pieces of, you know, stone, carved stonework like that, he shipped out to make his own mosques and palaces, and the rest of Mathura was just dust. And in the middle of Mathura he erected this huge mosque, which he plated with ceramic of all colors from Persia. And on the Janmabhumi there was the famous Keshav Mandir, which he also leveled. Keshav Dev was one of the 5 deities installed by Brajanab, Krishna's grandson, and that disappeared since then. The 4 others are still there. So, in this way, he built another mosque, which, very elaborate. When there's some interesting paintings you can see. It's put up by one university on the net. Paintings by Lord Hastings, when he toured India as Governor General, he had this one artist, Sitaram, who would paint wherever he would go. And it's interesting to see how India was in those days. You see the paintings like of Vrindavan. Even the Govinda Mandir as it exists now has been renovated. And you see it in 1814. It was just a ruin. Nidibhan was just like a jungle. Amazing. Anyway, Aurangzeb, when he made this edict, so following in the tradition of Bhagwan Singh, who married his daughter Jodha to Akbar and made an alliance pact with the Mughals. So from them, his Bhagwan Singh's grand-nephew became Sawaiman Singh, became Akbar's. Akbar considered him Faisant, or son, called him son, gave him the title of son. And he became the general-in-chief of the army of Akbar. When I was in Vrindavan in the old days, one day this Bengali came. He was a curator of the Taj Mahal Museum. And he had this photo showing Rupa Goswami, which we see in the Upadeshamrit, like a charcoal drawing. And there's some controversy amongst our Sampradaya who that actually is because of the timings. There's a lot of controversy on different dates for different personalities. But anyway, it shows, actually the whole picture shows Rupa Goswami sitting on that rock under the tree. And why we say Rupa Goswami? Because in Urdu on his thigh is written Rupa Baba. But what we don't see is Akbar and Man Singh both offering their obeisances, just like we do. Akbar, he called Vrindavan Fakirabad, the place of saints, fakirs. So there's an interesting history like that. And behind both Man Singh and Akbar, you have the whole army who are all like this, all offering their obeisances to Rupa Goswami. And therefore, with Akbar's blessing, Rupa built that beautiful, he had that Radha Govinda Mandir built, 7 stories high. So Rupa was already very elderly, although he looks transcendentally young in that drawing, painting. So anyway, coming back to my other point, Aurangzeb, when he wanted to do this, Jai Singh had succeeded Man Singh as the general-in-chief of the army, minister of defense, sort of. And he got disgusted when he heard this. He was disgusted because he knew that Aurangzeb was like a fanatic. He was like one of these Shiites, you know, purist Muslims. The others in the Mughal line were actually more inclined to leniency because they were more into sense enjoyment. Akbar's father, Hanuman, was an opium addict. Akbar's 2 eldest sons died in their 30s from alcoholism, drinking too much. His 3rd son, Salim, became known as Jahangir. So, anyway, he immediately eclipsed from that place and went and saved the deities, took them up north through Harayana, because he couldn't go straight across because there were too many of the Mughal kings in the way. So he had to go round up through Delhi and then down to Amber. Jaipur wasn't built then. And then put them in the Sabha, in the big assembly hall where he would convene his court. He installed the deities there as the kings. Very interesting. There's an interesting pastime in that connection with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When the news came to Radhakund, actually the deities, some of the deities actually went through Radhakund. They were hidden in straw carts. And then, you know, the king's envoys, the Rajputs, won, because Vishwanath was the acharya of all the Vaishnavas. Said, come, we have to go now. Aurangzeb is going to come and collect you and make you an example. And you're going to end up on that torture rack. He had this torture rack in Vishram Ghat where he would stretch until they're like ripped apart, the devotees and Vaishnavas, until they either repented and became accepted to convert or died. Very ferocious king. And Vishwanath, when he was told this, he thought this was so funny, and he was just laughing uproariously. And the more they tried to say, no, no, this is serious, and the more he would laugh. And he said, you think Aurangzeb's in charge? Radharani is in charge. True vision of a devotee. We all just puppets. And then again in Jaipur, in Amber, Jaipur wasn't built yet. The Brahmins who were the ministers were Ramanuja Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya Brahmins. And they objected. We can't allow Radharani and Krishna to be worshipped. Where's the Shastric Praman? Where's the evidence in the Vedas like this for this? They were saying this is Parakya Bhav. This will give a terrible precedent for our Vedic Dharma, that we worship God who goes with the wives of others. So the king, he didn't know what to do. He had to be impartial. So Radharani was put into another room. All the Radharanis. Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Damodar, Radha Binod, Lokanath's Radha Binod. All the original deities of Vrindavan. So the Pujaris couldn't defeat. The court Brahmins were saying that Mahaprabhu of yours is not a bona fide Sampradaya, because according to tradition, any bona fide Sampradaya should have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas immediately sent for help, and they pleaded to the king that our Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he should come. So they sent, and the delegation came to Vishwanath in Radhakund. And again, he thought this was so funny. And they got like offended. No, the king has sent us. It's a royal edict. You have to not take this so nonchalantly. This is serious. And he would laugh even more. And then he said again, he said, you guys don't understand. At this moment, Radharani and Krishna are having a tiff. They're fighting. Radharani packed her bags and went. He said, I'm not going to get into that. If I have to choose a side, I'll take Radharani's side. I'll also pack my bags and go. Vision of devotees. I'm very happy being here in Radhadesh. It's so nice. I really feel Radharani is very merciful here. Very lucky place. A lot of devotees don't realize, you know, that ISKCON is Radharani's movement. See, Krishna Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nayanya. There's no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. And we see Lord Chaitanya's disciples and the acharyas in our line are all the manjaris. The manjaris are the most confidential servitors of Radharani. It's described how the gopis, they can't assist in the Madhurya pastimes of Krishna and Radharani, because Radharani becomes embarrassed. Even her best friend, Lalita, is older than her, and she's very respectful to age. So, but the manjaris, like Ananga Manjari, her young sister, are always with Radharani. They bathe her, they dress her, they sleep with her, and therefore they privy to this most confidential Madhurya Leela. And all these manjaris became our acharyas, Goswamis.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda, the seventh Goswami, whose transcendental appearance day or disappearance? Anyone know appearance? I think it's appearance. Disappearance in Kartik, I think. Known as the seventh Goswami. There's an interesting story relating him, which hasn't really been broadcast yet, but it's going to come out soon. It's been published now by Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. Wonderful book. It's called Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava. Three volumes of pure nectar. Spiritual and extraordinary saint. Bhakti Siddhanta's life. And a lot of information on Srila Prabhupada that we had never heard before. Even Mula Prakriti hasn't put in a book. But he describes in there that what he did was, for the last 35 years, he went around India. You know, remember, you must have seen in many Back to Godheads, he does these wonderful articles on the different holy places, photojournalism. So what he did was he would go and meet whoever amongst the Prabhupada's godbrothers and godsisters he could, and he would interview them and tape them. And from all this information, he's compiled three volumes of nectar on Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinod, Gokishore Das Babaji, and even Jagannath Das Babaji, Vamshi Das Babaji, real nectar. So anyway, in that book, he relates how when Bhaktivinod was sent by the British to deal with Bishakant, that in those days kind of Sai Baba who was doing all these miracles, and Bhaktivinoda very effectively imprisoned him. And then Lord Jagannath came in a dream to Bhaktivinoda, saying, "I haven't brought you here just to deal with legal issues. Bhaktivinoda, what have you brought me here for? I want you to re-establish the pure Siddhanta of Lord Chaitanya, of his teachings." And then Bhaktivinoda in the dream, he said, "I'm not qualified to do that." He said, "Also, I'm old, and I'm also so engaged in my duties. Like, how can I do that?" And then he pleaded to Lord Jagannath, "You please send one of your personal associates who will be like that and powerful enough to do this." So Lord Jagannath said, "All right, pray Bimal Devi. Go and pray to Bimal Devi for that." So in each dham, there's a Kshetrapala who's Lord Shiva. And in each dham, he has a different name. Just like Mayapur is named after Odharya Maya, very ancient. Odharya means ancient, very old. In Nabadweep, there's this very ancient temple of Shiva and Parvati. And Odharya Maya, she's actually worshipped under this huge, gigantic banyan tree. And the roots have made like this cave. You have to like crawl to get in there and do the offering. Very powerful. You can really feel. And the old, you know, outside there's the temple of the Shivling, and it's like the roof has fallen in. You can see it's very old. So in Jagannath Puri, Maya Devi is known as Bimal. And that's why Bimal Prasad. So again, we see this Radharani sending someone very special. Barsha Bhanavi Devi Daitaya. That who he who is so dear, Daitaya, to Brishabhanu's daughter. And actually, when he was initiated by Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta was named Bimala Prasad, the mercy of Bimala Devi. So, like that, we see this movement, ISKCON, is Radharani's movement. It's very unfortunate, those devotees who go outside of ISKCON and then criticize Radharani's movement. And neglect, you know, they go to these other Gaudiya gurus and think they can get more than what they get from Srila Prabhupada. So unfortunate. Srila Prabhupada, his father, was staying with the Maliks in Harrison Road. And the Maliks were a very wealthy family of Calcutta. And they would worship Radha Govinda Ji with a lot of opulence. And it was a famous place for the sadhus. The sadhus knew, if you go to Radha Govinda Mandir, Harrison Road, the Malik Temple, you will get first-class kacharis cooked in ghee and halva distributed every morning. They'd bring out these huge platters and distribute the Mahaprasad of Radha Govinda. And Prabhupada would take advantage every day. He would invite one of those sadhus to come and take prasad in his house. And when the sadhu was very satisfied, he would ask him, please you bless my son that he becomes a good servitor of Radharani. Very significant promise. His father would even, a lot of these babas and sadhus are chilim babas. So Prabhupada's father, he didn't imbibe himself, but he would keep, you know, what for them to smoke, and he would even keep glass hookers. And we read in the Leelamrit, when Prabhupada would be angry, he would specifically go and break those hookers, showing his trend of staunch Vaishnavacharya, not allowing intoxication, right from childhood. So to come back to that interesting story I wanted to tell of Darshan. So Prithviraj, Sawai Prithviraj Jai Singh. Then what happened was this English lord, very famous, I think his name was Lord Clive or something, I can't remember exactly. But he was sent to India like that with an army. And because that was the English policy to divide and rule, they would make an alliance with some king and fight that king's enemies, and in this way expand their influence. And the king of Kashmir like that was attacked by the British army in conjunction with the Kashmiri king's enemies. And the Kashmiri king's army, which was actually very powerful, was completely routed and destroyed like that. So the Kashmiri king came with his personal guard at night, and they infiltrated where the British camp was and snuck into the tent where the officers were sleeping and murdered them all. And when the news came to English Parliament, that's where, you know, for them that was tantamount to declaration of war, that their hero of Trafalgar was ruthlessly murdered like that. So they sent a huge army, 40,000 soldiers to India, and that's when it became British India from that moment on. So the Kashmiri king very wisely came down to Kashmir, to Jaipur, to Amber, and, you know, protocol, he was received as his royal status, and he fell at the feet. He was actually related by, you know, that lineage of Jodha. He was actually related to them like that. So he fell at Prithviraj Jai Singh's feet and said, you know, according to Vedic Dharma, anyone who falls at a king's feet must be afforded protection. So I'm begging your protection. Will you accord me protection? And of course, due to his spies, he knew that this was because of the British, but still he had to do it, so he gave his protection. And that's when he started building Jaipur City, with that in mind, that now to defeat the English is going to be a real tough situation. And he was also an ally with the British. Actually, the Mughals were very friendly with Westerners, with French. There's a huge French sector in Agra with an old cemetery, 1600s, 1700s, French names are there. We're very close to the Mughal Empire, and also the British were doing a lot of trade like that. So they were on good terms. And but still, the British were unrelenting, and they eventually brought that army and held Amber siege. And it stagnated for quite a while, about a year or so, if I remember reading rightly. And then eventually the Prime Minister was named Gopal Sharma. And he quoted this verse that Prabhupada would often sometimes quote: to sacrifice, to save a family, you sacrifice a member. To save a village, you sacrifice a family. And to save a town, you sacrifice a village. To save a country, you sacrifice a town. But still, Jai Singh wouldn't accept. But then he said, well, they're stronger with us, their cannons are more perfected, they're going to defeat us, and then what will happen to the deities? And that changed his mind. So therefore, reluctantly, he handed over the Muslim king to the British, who immediately made a big court case and an example of him and hanged him. And Jai Singh was cursed by the Muslim king's mother, the Bibi, whatever her name was, and to have leprosy. And he got leprosy. But the thing is it's written in the Jaipur Palace annals that when he used to actually do the sringar himself, he would dress the deities, Radha Govindaji especially. And that when the, you know, citizens would wait for, you know, the sringar arati, what we call the greeting of the deities, they would hear Govindaji's thunderous laugh, because the king would joke with him, speak to Govindaji. And that's how in the Sadhu Basil, they say the king had darshan, that Govindaji and him could speak together. So when he did hand over this king, he lost that darshan, and Govindaji stopped speaking to him. So out of mortification, he started fasting. And he fasted for 47 days. And he was a big chap. These kings like Man Singh, Prithviraj, Jai Singh, their title is Sawai. Even in Hindi or Sanskrit, Sawai means one and a quarter. In Vrindavan Bazaar, if you go and buy vegetables and it's a little bit more than the kilo, so the merchant will say, Sawai kilo means one and a quarter, go for one and a quarter, like that. You know. So he was one and a quarter guy, like that chap, big guy. In the Jaipur Palace Museum, in the old days, last time I went, they no longer had it. But they had a uniform of Man Singh, Sawai Man Singh. And he was a huge, like giant-like guy, you know. It would take three men to lift his sword, it was so heavy. He would eat 200 farathas in one meal. You know, the farathas are like the stuffed puris, very, very inconsequential. So he fasted 47 days and he was at the moment of leaving his bodies. And Govindaji came in a dream and said, you have transgressed dharma. You should have believed in me, in my protection. Pratija nihi tavajuna name bhakta pranishyati. But still, it pains me to see you torturing yourself like this. So you please stop this fast and make another deity, replica of me, and then you will again have my darshan. So he made this famous, very unknown, but it almost became an ISKCON temple, Rajanidhi. Beautiful, just like Govindaji. What happened was that the Jaipur Parliament, this is how I learned the story from Pancharatna Prabhu, ISKCON TP in Jaipur. And I was going there getting the marble and stone works done in Makrana and Jaipur. And when that was going on, he helped. I'm very friendly with her. In those days, still alive, Thakur Vijay Singh. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, we went to see the Maharani of Jaipur and like that. And so what happened was the parliament said, we have 500 temples. All temples with nice deities are being totally neglected. And we can't afford now the pujaris, they all want a salary. And what to do. So one life member, one member of parliament suggested, let's give one to ISKCON. They do such fabulous deity worship. So then the parliament voted they would give one to ISKCON on a trial basis. And Pacharatna, there was this Brajanidhi temple is in the courtyard of the palaces. Means it's not too far away from Govindaji's. And it's actually where all the tourist buses park. There's this big compound there and all the buses park and then they go into that entrance to go and visit the museums and the palace. And just next to it there's another entrance which is not very known, but that's Brajanidhi's entrance. And he was always wanting those two emplacements to make a book and gift shop and a pizza and, you know, vegetarian snack place to get those tourists. And we almost got there. So what happened is the temple is real high, the deities are very high. And there's this huge like dungeon under them because when he got leprosy, he had to isolate himself from the citizens. So for the rest of his life, he worshipped Brajanidhi and again he got the darshan where the Lord would speak to him. Interesting. If you go and visit the armory in the museum, the weapons museum, there's this like small staircase going up to where the weapons are kept. And in the corridors there, in the stairwell also, there's these huge long paintings of a wedding procession. And that was actually Brajanidhi's wedding procession. Because what happened was Gopal Sharma, the Prime Minister, was also fasting till death because it was on his advice that the king lost his darshan and, you know, like that. So Radharani came to him in a dream also and she told him, no, you stop. This is all our pastime and I want you now to also find my deity and you'll find it where the horses circumambulate. So they dug where the horses were trained. And they found this very ancient walk-in well. The Rajputs, in the old times, even in Krishna's time, in the, you know, scorching summer heat, they would make these very ornate, elaborate temples underground with ornate arch system and stairs, very easy stairs, even like a ramp system for the kings and the queens to be carried down in palanquins. And then, you know, like 200 feet down, you'd get water, you know, and they'd make this ghat and a beautiful temple and also the king's personal chambers where he could relax and it's like aircon down there, you know, it's like actually quite chilly. Up maybe, you know, there's one near the headquarters of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Next to Pushkar, there's one ancient ruin there the tourists visit. You can go down, still in good shape. And you go down there and it's like very chilly, very cool. So anyway, they excavated and found one of these walk-in wells and down in the, they found this old temple and there's this exquisite Ashtada deity of Radharani. If you ever go to Jaipur, go and have a look at her. She's so aristocratic. So sublimely beautiful. I've never seen such a beautiful deity of Radharani like that. And that whole procession that you see in the paintings in the museum was actually their wedding. And the Jaipur king even built that famous Hawal Maheli, that wind thing where the queens could come and assist. Now that famous tourist spot was actually built so that the queens could assist Brajanidhi and Radharani's wedding. So, that explains Dasha. I think that's about it, no? Oops. As at your order. I have a lot of very nice katha on Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
What happened in this temple?
Well, what happened was there's this very powerful Brahmin who's a state minister of the Rajasthani government. And he's actually a set. And set is a polite way of saying mafia. And he hates ISKCON because we give Brahmin thread to non-Brahmin families. And he was objecting all along, but he was outvoted initially. And then somehow or other he lobbied and got enough votes and overturned that gift decision, especially when they found out that it was Prajanidhi, you know, because this is a miraculous deity for the Jaipur kings like that. They all objected. No way we're going to give this to Mlechis. Unfortunately, we didn't get it. Yeah. It may be coming soon. Maybe we weren't ready yet, so Radharani just put that on hold, that plan. We just whet our appetites. Become serious now, Nishtha, Ruchi, Bhava, and then you'll get us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.